Iroh 1.0 dropped today and 1,224 points with 371 comments. That's the kind of reception you get when a library lands that developers have been quietly watching for a long time. For listeners who haven't followed the project, Iroh is a peer-to-peer networking library built in Rust. The core idea is that establishing reliable connections between devices, especially when those devices are behind NAT on different networks or moving between networks, should not require running a central server or understanding the gnarly details of hole punching and relay fallback.
The business case for this kind of primitive is interesting. A huge category of applications that would ideally be peer-to-peer end up with a centralized architecture, not because the developers want centralization, but because building reliable P2P connections across real-world network conditions is genuinely hard. Iroh 1.0 is essentially saying, we've absorbed that complexity so you don't have to. The version 1.0 label matters because it signals API stability. Developers can build production systems on it without worrying about breaking changes.
The comments thread on Iroh is technically rich. There's discussion of how Iroh handles the quick transport layer, how the relay network works as a fallback, and the key design choice to use public keys as persistent node identifiers. That last piece is particularly clever. If a device changes IP addresses, which happens constantly on mobile networks, the connection can reestablish because the identifier is cryptographic rather than network address-based. The practical implication is that an Iroh connection is more like a persistent relationship between two devices than a session between two IP addresses.
Hetzner's price adjustment is getting a different kind of community reaction. 632 comments on an infrastructure pricing page. That comment count is a signal. Hetzner has been a beloved option in the developer community because their European data centers offer exceptional price-to-performance ratios compared to the major American cloud providers. When Hetzner adjusts prices, developers notice immediately because many of them are running personal projects, side businesses, or small company infrastructure on Hetzner specifically because of the economics.
The details matter here. Hetzner is raising prices on cloud servers, and the community reaction ranges from resigned acceptance, infrastructure costs have risen across the industry, to people doing comparative math on whether AWS, DigitalOcean, or Vultr now make more sense for their workloads. Several commenters note that Hetzner still compares favorably even after the adjustment, but the margins have narrowed. There's also some discussion about the upstream economics. Energy costs in Europe have remained elevated, and data center operators are passing that through.
The Hetzner thread also surfaces a recurring tension in the developer community between convenience and cost. The big cloud providers offer significantly more managed services, better geographic distribution, and tighter integrations with other services. Hetzner offers raw compute at excellent prices. When the price gap narrows, the convenience calculus shifts, and you see people reconsidering whether the operational complexity of managing their own setup at a budget provider is worth the savings.
TimescaleDB's compression approach got 159 points with 22 comments, a healthy reception for a technical deep dive. The post explains how TimescaleDB uses a columnar storage format called HyperCore to compress time series data. The interesting engineering choice is that time series data has a structure that's extremely amenable to compression. Timestamps are sequential and can be delta encoded. Metric values often change slowly relative to their range, and metadata fields are frequently repeated. TimescaleDB exploits all of these patterns to achieve compression ratios that are impractical with general purpose databases.
The practical relevance here is that time series workloads are everywhere. Infrastructure monitoring, IoT sensor data, financial tick data, application performance metrics. The cost of storing and querying that data at scale is a real operational concern. When a purpose-built database achieves compression ratios of 10 to 1 or better compared to storing raw data in PostgreSQL, that's not an academic exercise. It's the difference between a storage bill that's manageable and one that isn't.
And a brief mention of the Kubernetes interviews post, 196 points. Which is a developer reflecting on what patterns they noticed across job interviews, specifically about Kubernetes knowledge. The observation that resonated in the comments is that interview questions about Kubernetes often reveal more about what companies have struggled with in production than what Kubernetes actually is. If an interviewer is obsessed with pod disruption budgets, their team has probably been burned by a botched rolling deployment. If they ask deeply about network policies, they've probably had a security incident. The scar tissue shows up in the questions.